On the line now, I've got Jim Haynes. Jim is the author of a pretty much new book. It's been out a couple of weeks, called Heroes, Rebels and Radicals of Convict Australia. Good morning. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, now, we were just saying off air, this is book number 33 for you.
Yes, it is. I don't know how that happened, but I started out short stories and anecdotal things about Australia, and then I did some big poetry anthologies. But I've really gone back to my sort of academic days, and the last few books have been, you know, all about Australian history and characters from the past and things that Australians believe that aren't true. So yeah. I've gone back to that.
I think we spoke when you brought out your last book, the one before this. And you're right, it was along a similar line to this one, Heroes, Rebels and Radicals of Convict Australia. Now, this basically is all about, you've got all sorts of people, starting out with Joseph Banks, haven't you?
Yeah, well, what I tried to do, Tim, is to tell the story of transportation, because when I started the research, I realised that Australians don't know much about transport. We think it all started with the First Fleet. Transportation out of England started with Elizabeth I, 1597, and convicts and prisoners of war had been transported out of Britain legally under the law for many, many years, centuries, before anyone thought of sending them here. So I thought I'd try to explain all that and why it was happening. You know, people were being displaced because the common land was taken away in what we call the Enclosure Acts, and there was a political party ruling Britain called the Whig Party, who were Protestant landowners, basically, and were terrified of the poor people causing trouble or the Catholics invading. And it's all the background to why transportation was going on. And then, of course, they were sending convicts to the American colonies. And when America won the Revolutionary War, that's when New South Wales came into the picture, which Captain Cook had discovered 18 years previously and had just been sitting there with no plans to do anything with it. And so I start the biographies with Joseph Banks, because he was the man who really pushed for the colonisation of New South Wales.
Yeah. Now, that was 1788, and they kept transporting until what, around about 1870?
1868, the last convict ship, yes, the Hougoumont, sailed to Western Australia. And this is the other interesting thing, you know, who did and didn't have convicts, because South Australia, they're always telling you that they never had any convicts there. And Western Australia was the same. They didn't really want convicts either. They wanted to be a free colony, or a free settlers colony. But in the end, they needed convicts because they had no manpower. So they asked for convicts from Britain, and about 9,000 were sent to Western Australia. So that, in that whole time, which is almost a century, and of course there were still convicts even after they stopped sending them, because a lot of them were still, serving out their sentences. So it's 100 years, and the effect that it had on all the Australian colonies and states is remarkable.
Yeah. Now, the book's been out since the 31st of October, so over a fortnight. Feedback on it, how's that been?
Yeah, it's been great. We've had terrific publicity I've been doing lots of speaking engagements talking about the book. I think it's captured the imagination of Australians, because there's a lot of things that we didn't realise about transportation. And then there's all the stuff that how it affected Australia. And I mean, the book isn't just about convicts. It's about Pemulwuy, the Aboriginal rebel, and it's about other people as well who were affected and who tried to do things. There's even a woman who I wrote about in the book, Elizabeth Fry, who never came to Australia, but she was trying to provide some kind of kindness and reform to female convicts before they even left Britain. She was giving them, you know, this big package. Every female convict who came to Australia was given this big package of material and needles and scissors and, you know, and a Bible, of course. Yep. And so all these people were involved in one way or another. There's a couple of bush rangers, and there's amazing stories like Mary Reeby, who disguised herself as a boy and stole a horse and ended up being the most respected and wealthiest woman in Sydney.
Yeah, and it just shows, you know, what you can come from. You were saying that you've been doing a lot of speaking engagements. Whereabouts are you based?
Well, I live in Sydney, right in the middle of Sydney. So, you know, I do quite a lot of speaking engagements, from everything from, you know, art galleries to the Maritime Museum, to right down to local Probus clubs. I spend quite a bit of my time, you know, talking about the research and the books that I've written.
Right. Have they sent you anywhere out of Sydney to do speaking tours?
Well, no, we're not doing any touring at this time. The thing is, at this time of the year, there's so many authors trying to sell their books for Christmas.
For Christmas, yeah, that'd be right.
So, and I've got quite a few other commitments, because I'm not retired yet. I'm still working and doing various things. So, mostly working on books, of course.
I was going to say, with 33 books, you know, surely your retirement would be only about books, wouldn't it?
Well, if I ever do, people say to me, you know, I quit teaching. I was an academic and a teacher, and then I was a professional entertainer for 25 years and a recording artist. That's another lifetime, of course. It's nothing to do with the books and the things I do now. But people say, what are you going to do when you retire? And I say, well, I've been doing it since 1988, when I had my last real job as a you know, a department head in a high school, and worked in universities and so on. So I don't know if I ever will retire. I suppose eventually they'll have to wheel me out somewhere to pasture.
Yeah, it's a minute to eight. So the book is called Heroes, Rebels and Radicals of Convict Australia. It's been out around about 2 weeks. Jim Haynes is the author. Jim, it, once again, as with your previous books, just one of those books where you go back and you have a look at all sorts of people from Convict Australia.
Yes, and there are all kinds of people in there, and everyone has a story. There were 165,000 convicts, so I've got quite a few stories.
You've got the odd one to choose from, haven't you? With 165,000. Jim, thank you very, very much for your time this morning. The book, again, Heroes, Rebels and Radicals of Convict Australia by Jim Haynes, been out around about a fortnight. And, just if you wanted to know anything at all about Convict Australia, it is in this book.